In the quaint coastal town of Sandpoint, five unlikely heroes find themselves at the locally renowned Rusty Dragon Inn, where they are about to be thrust into an adventure that will inevitably prove itself more vital than it immediately appears. From thwarting a local nuisance to uncovering a decades-old secret that could change the course of a nation forever, find out what adventures await us along the road of fate, on the path to destiny, along the way of the Rusty Dragon.
Alright everybody, welcome back to the pod called Quest, and unusually, I'm your Marvin Game Master Foz.
And I'm Stephanie.
It's your spaghetti sport, Shane.
And I'm Josh.
I'm Laura.
Hey everybody, this is David Don Cornelius, a soul train, and I just want to wish you all peace and love.
Oh, that's really good.
That was great. That's the Dang. Best one yet.
Thank you guys.
Smooth and
that
silky.
Was really good. Yeah.
Also, I'm sorry, Shane, did you say spaghetti sport?
Yes.
That's Got it. Beautiful.
Just making sure I had that right.
You did.
How's everyone doing this fine Sunday evening?
Oh, I Very feel good. Like crap.
Not bad.
Oh, crap?
Yeah.
Why?
What happened?
I had a milkshake.
Oh no.
Was it worth it?
Yeah.
I know it was. You did good. I'm proud
this,
of you.
I saw this meme that was like a picture of like a dude on a motorcycle with he's just a skeleton and there's like fire everywhere. And it said like, my body is a machine that turns ice cream into diarrhea. That's exactly how I feel.
Honestly, same. Oh, man. I feel that.
Where did you get the milkshake from?
Jack in the Box.
Nice. Oh, milkshakes are okay. So good though.
Are
the
they?
Jack Box milkshakes are bomb.
Never yes. had a milkshake.
Yeah, they can't.
They're like actual ice, real ice cream blended, not like a machine, you know? It's good.
The it's not like soft serve.
It's not like McDonald's, you know, where it's just like soft serve in like a cup. They like actually blend up their milkshakes in house. They're so good.
Well, speaking of bringing all the boys to the yard, what about last episode?
Oh my god.
Yeah, I mean, we started the caravan. We mainly just named people the whole time.
Yeah.
We tried. We struggled too, really.
That was fun.
That's all right. That's all right. Hey, I brought Walthus in. I didn't think that was going to happen.
Yeah, it's great. Walthus, he's a fun boy.
Bog saw a lot of himself in him and he felt really bad that he's by himself. He doesn't need to be by himself. Fuck the campaign. We'll go fight and tear down Cheliax if we have to.
Ooh. Yeah.
Hell yes.
You ready for that?
I need to start
yeah,
prepping.
Can you pivot? No? Fuck this. We're making a rebellion.
Mm-hmm. Hold, please.
All right, we'll give you 5 minutes. Is that enough time?
That's enough time to learn the capital of Cheliax.
Everyone's bad. There. We did it.
There you go. You're ready.
All right. Well, got a little something prepared for y'all.
That's scary.
That makes me nervous. Oh, dear.
We open on a black screen to the sounds of a forest, a symphony of songbirds on the wind, and a soft breeze blowing through a leafy canopy. We see the words 4671, somewhere in the Sanos forest. From the darkness, a low shot of a verdant thicket appears. Two studded leather boots come into frame as they make their way towards an unsuspecting doe, completely soundless. The shot switches to a close-up on the grazing deer, a foreboding Shalilu and Osana in the background. With her composite longbow in hand, we watch as she knocks a single arrow. Just as she's about to loose the projectile, we see the animal perk up as if it's heard something. It turns its head to face a noise not yet perceptible to the elf and darts off in the opposite direction. Shalilu's arrow fires reflexively, just shy of its quarry. "Gods damn it!" she mutters to herself as she lowers her bow arm. It's not until the deer is well out of sight that she hears what must have scared it off. It's music. or something like music. Calmly and quietly, the ranger tracks the sound through the coppice to a clearing. At its center, the source of the melody. Floating just above the forest floor is what can only be described as a silvery cloud of light and sound. The ethereal mass undulating in a chromatic display of gentle refrain and soft light. Shalilu stares on, dumbfounded by her discovery, when another sound breaks her from her reverie. The subtle coo of an infant. It's only then that she notices the baby, swaddled in leaves and flower petals, reaching in vain towards the ineffable floating fog. She lets out a quiet gasp at the shock of the child alone in the woods. Just then, as the mist of lights shift, for the first time in a manner so abrupt, she can only assume it to now be staring directly at her as it stills itself. Before she can react, it tears off into the forest and at unnatural speed, leaving the baby behind. Apprehensively, Shalilu approaches the child. She kneels down, noting its green eyes, blonde hair, and pointed ears as she picks up and cradles this pitiful, endearing burden. We then switch the scene to see Shalilu riding swiftly on her horse towards Voldrith. The other two riders accompanying her in unison turn and tear off back towards Sandpoint. She calls out with a smile, "Voldrith, I've been waiting for the dawn of this day for many a sunrise, and now here we are."
"Well, why don't you hurry up? You're late."
"I know, I apologize, but I'm here now."
"Is it true what they say? Elves run on their own time. It's as if you have more time on Earth than the rest of us. You think you can take as long as you want. Show up whenever you feel like it."
"Oh, Voldrith, you know I have matters to attend to."
"Well, either way, I'm glad you can make it."
"I am very excited to be here. Bog, how do you fare?"
"Oh, I'm good. How you doing?"
"How you doing?" That was some Joey Tribbiani. Right there, Bog.
No, it's what? That's how he talks. What are you talking about?
"I am well, Bog. Thank you. I must catch up with the others. It's good to see you all." And she snaps the reins of the horse and then gallops to the front of the caravan to meet with Sandru and Amako.
Playing the part of the horses today is a cat.
For the listeners, Shane wrote that little ditty all on his own.
Yeah, you a miss, baby?
I did. I wrote that.
Aww, that's a mist, baby.
Yeah, you little mist, baby.
So sweet. Is there significance to the mist? Are we?
No, none at all.
Absolutely,
it's just a total, just like a trifle throwaway.
No, I mean, like, are we?
Yeah, Shane just ran out of like creative ideas.
Let me finish my thought. So, what I meant to ask, which came out all wrong, was: is there significance to the mist in the context of like this world that like I don't know about because I don't know the Pathfinder world very much?
They don't even have foggy days in Galarian.
I actually don't know either. Shut the hell up.
No such thing as overcast.
I don't know either, Steph. So don't worry. I have no idea.
I'm not going to answer that.
That's fine. I just wanted to know if the mist was mysterious because I don't know very many things about Pathfinder, or if the mist was mysterious because you wanted it to be. It's mysterious to me too, and I know a little bit more about Pathfinder than you. So
sounds like a fae or something.
A fae
origin.
You never know.
Hero die.
All right. If you want to, we can go back to roll 20 to kind of take a look at the progress so far. Last session, I let you know that you traveled one day already, and this is still a part of that day. So you're going to be getting ready to make camp pretty soon. So yeah, we can kind of go from there. This is the end of day one. We already marked off your provisions for this,
mm-hmm.
your consumption, I should say. And I marked down that you traveled 32 miles as the base speed for each day. So yeah, I'd like to know what y'all are doing for the setup of the caravan, getting ready for a night of respite.
I mean, I don't think Opal has a ton to do. Most of her sleeping stuff and all of that is like in her wagon, which is really convenient. But if anybody else like needs help setting up like camp stuff or bedding, Opal will walk around and try to help people for sure. See if anyone needs help, especially the new folks.
Yeah, I mean, Bog and Walthus probably spend the day. I think we maybe grabbed some stuff that he had left over from his house. Maybe I grabbed some, just some ingredients that we're not going to have all the time. But just because we were close to Sandpoint, I went and did some extra pre-prep at the Rusty Dragon, knowing like, let's do the first night special. And I cooked up like a pre-batch of some things for like my etouffee and some stuff like that. And cooked up like a nice fun meal for everybody for the first night out camping. Even though this is not going to be the normal stuff, probably a lot more simple than this. But for now, the first night, there's like a, not like a party, but like a, hey, let's eat well for the first, you know, for the first time out on the road. We got a long road ahead of us. So makes a whole smorgasbord of stuff.
Cool. Yeah. Yum. I will say that Sandrew pulls the wagons and helps coordinate to pull them into a circle. Everybody is kind of the first hour of unpacking, and it's a lot of work. There's canopies being set up and different sleeping quarters being arranged in the area within the caravan. And I imagine Bog and Walthus, like you said, are starting to prep and cook some food. And there's a nice big fire going in the middle of all of this.
Yeah, we probably have like a little station and stuff and set that up all around the fire.
Sorry, I have a question for Josh and for Foz and for Shane and those who are more familiar with Pathfinder. I want to see, because I purchased the formula alembic this last time and I have a potion of lesser restoration. I'm able to, the rules of the like items say that it has to be something that's on the alchemist extract list. However, lesser restoration is a level 2 extract spell. I haven't unlocked those yet. If I were to learn it, can I still use it?
You wouldn't be able to prepare it. You could know it technically, could be in your extract book, but you don't have any slots to prepare. You don't know how to do that yet. So it would be up to Foz whether you could do that, really. But you don't have any ability to prepare it.
Okay. It seemed like cheating, but I wasn't sure what the, so I just wouldn't be able to prepare it, but I could have it on my list.
Yeah. I mean, and that kind of how I've never played a wizard, but that's kind of how it goes along your travels. You try your best to kind of pick up spells here and there, right? Like,
I have a potion for a level that I haven't, like, that I technically don't know those spells yet. So I wasn't sure if I could do it or not.
Yeah. Yeah. You wouldn't be able to cast or prepare the extract because you don't have any level 2 slots, basically. Think about it that way. But as Foz is saying, you can put it in your extract book for later, which is tight.
Okay. Then Indra's going to do some studying on one of the potions to kind of test out this new item that she has gotten. Yeah.
Cool. And you're doing a lesser restoration, you said?
Yeah. Lesser restoration.
And it expends that potion, right?
I don't.
Ooh, Foz. Interesting. I don't know.
They'd be crazy if it didn't.
I heat the potion in the alembic for 1 hour. The device creates a few drops of magical liquid, and it doesn't say.
The description makes it sound like it does. Yeah, I don't, but
I'd be surprised if it didn't.
It says that the alembic, using the alembic does not harm the potion, but the process makes it nearly boiling hot. It cools normally, but can distill the knowledge. That's a
wow.
Very interesting.
Hey. All right, we'll take it.
Yay.
Cool.
Anyway, so you guys see Indra, she's kind of, after, you know, we've done all the setup and stuff, she's kind of off to the side on her own, just like tinkering around with this new device that she's picked up. And you see her kind of like trying to heat this this potion up and kind of burning her hand a little bit, but eventually taking the few drops that come out of this device and kind of looking around a little nervously and just closing her eyes, shutting them really tight and just taking a chance and drinking the potion or drinking the drops.
Awesome. Felix, David.
Yes.
Did we establish what your role for this day was going to be as a spellcaster? You have the ability to choose each day. So are you going with guard today or what? Is there something else you'd like to?
No, I think Coda and Sarah will get like a run of the the new wagon and do sort of what is the term? Did I already say rounds? They're gonna like get in the guard position and start doing the rounds about the camp and seeing where everybody is and taking stock of things and the lay of where we're gonna be sleeping tonight.
Cool.
Sweet. Mm-hmm.
Hey Steph, as a note, that's gonna cost you 40 gold to write it into your extract book.
Oh, for sure.
Your formula book, by the way. I just checked.
Thank you.
All right. So the evening progresses. The caravan is all set up, ready for leisure time, rest and relaxation time. Like I said, you do 12 hours of travel during the daytime. If that's how you want to do it, you can always change your schedule, but 12 hours of travel during the day and then 12 hours of respite during the evening.
Everything's set up, and Bog and Walthus are cooking dinner. At one point, Amako breaks out her samisen, which is a three-stringed guitar-like instrument, and she starts playing for everybody around the fire while you're all enjoying your dinner.
Aw, so
you
nice.
You continue to hear claps of thunder, and you start to see flashes as it starts to get dark in the distance. It seems like this storm is potentially heading your way. Is there anything you would all like to do before you go to bed?
Yeah, I think Vol just wants to catch up with Shalilu. Maybe talk about like what he's been up to, all the stuff they've encountered. Talk about some of his concerns, like with the undead and stuff. But he also wants to get her help and advice on setting up the traps around camp, seeing like where she would put them, what the best way to hide a trap is, and then having her show all, not only the guards that are patrolling where the traps are, but like everybody in the caravan so they don't accidentally trip one off.
Yeah, that's great. You guys have a little training session with Shalilu, and she takes everyone that I would say she probably walks the entirety of the caravan, the people within it, to each individual trap, just so everybody can start to understand what to look for and just make general rules about not venturing out too far at night if possible. And I don't know, what kind of traps do you envision? I said before it's like an amalgamation of a bunch of different things, but is there anything you envision that would be cool?
Lasers.
Yes.
Lemon, barbed wire, like maybe a piranha pit. Tigers.
Did you say lemon?
Yeah.
Like squeeze lemon juice barbed wire
on the barbed wire so when it cuts, it stings extra.
And pits of salt just beyond it.
It's like an extra level of mean.
I want to surround the camp with a bunch of tripwire machine guns. Can we do that?
Yeah, that's cool.
I just want to throw a lot of marbles on the ground, like Home Alone style.
Yeah, for sure. Marbles, thumbtacks, RC, like we'll do Hot Wheels cars.
Yeah.
Can we make it so there's like a big bucket of paint on a tree branch, and when somebody walks by, the bucket of paint falls on them?
Yeah.
After they get hit by the bucket of cement.
Yeah, exactly. After like they get hit with a bucket of cement,
saran wrap
sure.
between two trees so it looks completely clear.
Yeah, perfect.
I think we got some like probably bear traps, something like that, you know?
Yeah. For 1,000 gold, I hope we got a lot of shit, dude.
Yeah, there's gotta be some like good stuff in there.
Some like scary, like if you step in it, it takes off your whole foot trap.
Yeah.
Like, something crazy.
Yeah, that's like big snares, nets, tripwires, like probably like bells, stuff like that that go off and people come through.
Like, maybe like arrow traps or something. Like
Arrow equipment to dig pits and stuff is probably part of it too. I don't know how often we're gonna dig fucking
that comes
pits.
Down.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones.
Yeah, exactly. It comes with a hat too.
Yes. Do not look into the eyes.
Awesome.
So Shalilu is the one who's creating the traps.
No, she's helping us set them up.
Okay. Yeah, we bought them. So
I'm assuming
they probably got like two big like crates full of trap shit, and you're like, check it out, sis. And she's like, Jesus, damn, you really went for it.
She's like, we're set.
So the campsite traps. That gives you a
+4 to attack on round one in a combat at night.
Yeah, it's a +4 bonus to security checks made to avoid being surprised. So while you're sleeping.
Oh, cool.
Or, while you're standing guard, it will give you a +4 bonus to that. And you're correct. A +4 bonus on an attack check the first round of combat. But that's while you're camped, obviously, when the traps are set up. You guys set a regiment for the guards. Shalilu and Voldrith are kind of hanging out by the fire afterwards and chatting. And imagine Voldrith, like you said, you're talking to her about what happened in the swamp. And you all go to sleep after that.
Good night.
In the middle of the night, it starts to rain pretty heavily. And as you wake up the next morning, it continues to downpour. And in the middle of the night, there's probably a couple people that have to get up and maybe jump inside one of the wagons just to make sure the area inside of the caravan in the middle is covered with a canopy, but the ground starts to get flooded at some point. So,
uh-oh.
Bog was probably willing to sleep outside because he barely like sleeps indoors on his boat anyways. So he's probably one of those people, but he kind of likes it. It rains a lot where he like grew up. So this is like back home
in the middle of the night. So Coda is sleeping in the supply wagon. He'll get out and he will. So you said at least four people are outside, right?
Yeah. There's a few people that were sleeping on the ground at some point.
If you step out, you probably see Bog standing in the middle of the wagons. Like, his arms are down at his side, and he's just, like, staring, like, kind of listfully up into the sky, into the rain, just, like, with his, like, eyes half closed. He's just like...
Oh, wow.
So zen.
Coda will step out of the wagon and say, Bog, have you seen Sandrew?
Did you check the wagon he's in?
No, that's a good place, but we might want to get these wagons, like, with some wood underneath them or something, just to keep them from, like, sinking into the mud. I'll look for Sandrew.
What does the ground feel like around here, Boz? Like, how much vegetation are we seeing? Like, what kind of topography we got?
It's pretty sandy in this area. It's sand and dirt. With sparse vegetation.
Okay, that's not good.
We can say, like, I would imagine it's part of the caravan setup. Like, this isn't Sandra's first rodeo. I assume he props everything up onto planks of wood.
And also, especially with, like, a storm on the horizon, like, yeah. I imagine somebody would have raised that, especially if Kota's having the idea now, probably. But we maybe would be okay. But yeah, especially on this kind of ground, no vegetation.
Yeah,
it's going to be a giant mud puddle real soon.
I just assumed we would do it now to make it, like, cinematic. Like, oh, you know, when it's pouring and you're like, damn, does it ever rain like that? You know, movies rain.
Yeah, but we don't want to look stupid.
Or do we?
I'll be like, man, this Sandra guy. This is my first time. I'm like, oh, great. Cool. I feel very safe.
Maybe he just forgot. Needs Coda to remind him.
So Coda will address Sandrew, and Sandrew will be like, go back to sleep, you idiot. It's already on wood.
All right. So the morning comes without any sun. It starts to get light, but the storm is a brewing. It's still pouring rain, and they're all around you in different directions. There are claps of thunder and lightning hitting certain points of the horizon. As you all pack up and start to move forward, I need everybody to roll a d20.
Oh boy.
Shit.
Ooh. I don't like that.
Okay, let's get those d20 rolls. Did anybody roll above a 15?
I did.
All right, Josh and Stephanie, reveal your rolls, please.
19.
16.
All right, Josh, you get the first roll. Go ahead and make me a security check.
Okay, it's plus 6. Let's do it. Oh, that's a natural 16. That's a 22.
Hell yeah.
Beautiful. Yes.
So Sandrew is able to lead the caravan very well and kind of maneuver his way down the road in a fashion that doesn't impede your speed as you move along. So you're still moving very briskly, and Sandrew's probably trying to force the envelope to get you out of the storm. But he does so very well based on that roll, and you will not take any penalties to your movement speed for today because of this crazy storm.
All right.
Yeah.
Ooh,
nice.
All right. In that case, I'm going to move the token up one square on your journey, and you can mark down that you took that you traveled 32 miles for today. And we can go ahead and mark off consumption. I assume that you want Shalilu to go out and do some hunting to help with the consumption.
Yeah, or do you want that's what we have her at right now. So basically just lower our consumption by 2, essentially. So consumption is 18. So we're going to spend 16 because we're going to get 2 from Shalilu, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Cool.
Sweet.
We got 118 provisions, yo.
Woohoo.
It's going quick.
Yes, it is.
But you can see on the map there are places that you can stop and get some more provisions. Those Galderia and Wolf's Ear just before the Churl Wood that you can refresh if you need to. And then obviously Roderick's Cove is above that. So
yeah, we should probably stock up before the woods.
Yeah. Mm. All right. It is the evening of the second day of travel. You make it out of the storm. Does anybody want to do anything?
I'm good.
Dang.
All right. Isn't this fun, guys? Don't you love caravan stuff?
So it's a new day now, right? So I choose a different
it's a new dawn.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Is there a new role?
Is there something else you'd like to choose? I'll just leave that up to you, but just make sure when I say it's a new day that you tell me if you're changing it. Otherwise, I'll just assume it you're continuing what it was previously.
No, I'll switch it up this time. This time I'll hit the like the ground with Shalilo and be a tracker for some food and stuff.
Nice.
Dope.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Love that.
Indra is, she's just like posting up she's got like all these, she's looking at maps and different books and stuff like that, just trying to see if she can help predict what the conditions are going to be, both geographically and like weather like after the day before. So she's just studying away.
Cool. Yeah. And that's why you're in the front wagon. So Sandrew can pull from your knowledge to help guide you all. It's great.
I think Opal is trying to make the new people feel welcome, like the newer people hired onto the caravan. So she's probably like going around and introducing herself and asking them about themselves, maybe offering to give them like a reading if they are into that, you know. So just trying to make the new people feel like at home.
Awesome. Love that. All right. Top of day three. You're making your way down the Gold Coast Road and in the direction of Galderia. And as you were all traveling, it's about midday. Let's have everybody roll a perception check.
Uh-oh.
That's scary.
I don't like it.
All right. What everybody get? Let's go with Opal.
25.
25. Ooh. Bog.
18.
Nice. Indra?
A natural one for a total of 5.
Okay. Love it.
Voldrith?
23.
Ooh.
And Kota?
To 25.
Nice.
Wow.
Kota, Opal, and Voldrith, you all notice in the distance, there's a copse of trees. And coming out of those trees, you start to see little shapes riding out of them.
Uh-oh.
A very quick pace in your direction. What do you do?
You said riding specifically, yes?
Mm-hmm. They're just, at this point, they're so far away, they're shapes moving in your direction.
Huh.
Bog, I think we have company.
So, like, I was thinking, Walters, like, maybe over the next couple of days, we'll get some of that cabbage we got. Hold on, Vulture. Just one second. We're going to put it with some seasoning. We're going to pickle it over the next week.
Oh, and then he stabs him with a dagger.
Bog punches your head off on accident.
You can't. You're dead. He's slapping you. He's, like, gently slapping you in the cheek.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, just hold on that one sec, Walters. What you want, man? What's going on, shit?
We have company. There's riders coming out of the woods.
Bog just like pokes his head out of the wagon.
Uh-oh. You hear in the front of the caravan a whistle sound and the caravan begins to stop.
Voldris just looks at Shalilu and like sort of nods like, let's go. And then he jumps out the back of the caravan.
Cool. Everyone starts to get into formation to kind of see what's going on. And you can see as they start to get closer, these are goblins riding goblin dogs.
Oh, no.
There's about 12 of them, and they're heading in your direction. Roll for initiative.
All right. Oh, boy.
Walter, stay in the cover wagon. Don't get out.
So for this, we're going to, this is going to be caravan combat. Ooh. So everybody's D20 roll. Let's save that. And then whoever gets the highest gets to actually roll the initiative for the wagon, just to make sure everyone's rolling dice. So Coda, what'd you get?
Coda got a 21.
All right. Voldrith.
15.
Awesome. Opal.
5.
Ooh.
Oh, no. Ouch. Par for the course.
All right. Indra.
Got 17.
Nice. And Bogalicious.
That's an 8.
Cool. So as these goblins start to approach, I assume that you want to circle the wagons as a part of your first action.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
So the trade-off for circling the wagons is you do not get to make an attack on the first round of combat. I just want to make sure that's... but it does boost your AC. They could even not hit you.
Well, let's think of this roleplay-wise, guys. If there was a bunch of goblins heading at us, we'd probably circle the wagons, right? It could be like, fuck, everybody group up.
Yeah.
Right?
I think so. Mm-hmm.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I say we do that.
Gives you a +4 to your AC, so that's a good thing to have.
I think that's a good trade-off.
Yeah, it will make our AC 18.
All right, so you hear Sandrew in the front of the first wagon, circle up, and he starts to pull the train in a circular motion to get everything ready as these goblins are approaching, and everybody kind of jumps out and readies their positions. So the way this works, basically it's your entire group represented by the caravan character sheet is fighting this entire group of goblins. So that's how these combat roles go back and forth, at least for this first test of the caravan combat. So you did your circle up already. That foregoes your attack action. So the goblins, the raiders, they're going to make a charge against you.
Wait, are they the raiders or the chargers?
I hate you so much.
Well, the episode's over.
That's right. Football was brought up. That's it. We're dead.
All right. That is a 3.
Oh, that's a miss.
So as these goblins are charging in, Voldrith and Shalilu and Sandru, they're all on the front lines with the rest of you heroes, and you're able to stave off the first wave of goblins as they brush by. A couple of you stab them off of their goblin dogs, and they go shrieking and retreat and get ready for another attack. All right, so Coda, you get to make the first attack roll against these goblin dogs and these goblins. It is now the top of round 2. All right. Josh, what is that attack modifier for the caravan?
So base, it's 10. I don't think we get anything extra, right?
No, not at the moment.
Yeah, offense 3 plus the heroes and the guards.
Cool. So you roll d20 plus 10 there, David.
Okay, cool. That was a 13, so plus 10, 23.
All right. Yeah, that's definitely a hit. So roll for damage. Damage of the caravan is a d6 plus your level. Level 2 caravan.
All right. So that's 3 plus 2 is 5.
5 points of damage. Go ahead and describe what Coda and Sarah do to kind of help lead this charge and do some damage. Mm-hmm.
All right. So Coda will whistle, which I cannot do. So I apologize for the lack of... there we go. And he will point at the foremost, like a goblin raider, and she will storm out, break off from the crowd, and attack the dog and the raider. And Coda will pull out his light crossbow and crack the driver in the face.
Awesome. So the driver gets hit straight in the head and falls to the ground, and the goblin dog is eviscerated by Sarah as you help make this charge. The raiders are going to make an attack against the caravan as well.
Can that goblin dog count as a provision for the day?
If you want to eat a goblin dog.
I'm just kidding.
It's already in Sarah's void pouch.
Don't call it that, Felix. It's gross, dude.
It's okay. Caitlin likes it.
Yeah. Thank you, girl, by the way.
The goblins make another charge against you, and that's a 7.
That's a miss.
Oh, fuck.
So the goblins, as they attack, they lose a couple more of their numbers, and they're starting to dwindle down to about half of what they started with. But they're getting more upset and more angry, especially at the sight of these horses that are encircled within the middle of this caravan. All right, next up to make an attack roll, it's going to be Indra. Stephanie, go ahead and roll that d20 plus 10 to attack these goblins.
18.
18 is a hit.
Nice.
Nice.
Indra, please describe how you contribute to this little battle going on. It can be whatever your heart desires.
Indra just pulls out her short sword and sees one of these goblin dogs kind of running towards one of the caravan members, and kind of rushes in to jump in between them and slashes them with her short sword.
Cool. And when you guys are describing this, you can like use the abilities that you have. I'm not going to make you like waste it for the day. You know what I mean? Like, this is all fun. And yeah. And I want you guys to kind of, especially in this type of thing, like can't really contribute much besides what you're explaining. So you can feel free to explain like some of your abilities.
Cinematic as fuck.
Yeah, whoa. For sure. All right. That's great. Go ahead and roll a d6 plus 2 for damage.
That's a 7.
7 points of damage. You are all able to dispatch of the rest of the goblins and goblin dogs. There's one of them that, you know, starts to try and scamper away, and you can see Shalilu. It's probably about 100 yards away, and Shalilu just takes a shot, and it whistles through the air for a couple seconds, and then you just see this goblin fall off of the goblin dog as the remaining goblin dog runs off into the forest.
Hell yeah.
I don't know why I have this image in my head of her, like, she raises the bow to shoot, and she looks for a second, and, like, you see, like, a shot of, like, the leaves blow a little bit, and she tilts the bow to the right and fires it, and you watch as it, like, goes up and arcs back over to the left and then hits the thing. She had to account for the wind.
Yeah. Like a fucking sniper shot.
Yeah. Where she's like, nope. She goes like 2 inches to the right and fires it like completely in the wrong direction, but it arcs over towards him.
Before she fires, she just turns and winks at Bog and then fires without looking.
Bog in his mind goes, oh man, she gonna miss. Like, she's not even close. And then he's like, oh shit. Lady, you gotta look at where you're shooting at.
All right, well, that was Caravan Combat, everybody.
Wow. Ooh.
I'll give it a B minus.
What a thrill.
Let's see. Two people out of the party got to contribute to that.
Yeah.
Sorry to Shane, Josh, and Laura.
That's all right.
It felt good.
I need to get better at like practicing describing what I'm doing. That's always been like really hard for me. And if this is how it's going to be going forward, I'm like, oh God, I need to figure out how to do this.
Well, we have to practice describing violence, Steph.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets easier.
I'm just like, she takes out her sword and hits them.
She swords them. She swords the guy with the sword. Can she take her sword and sword him?
Yeah.
Good.
I'm going to go ahead and make a declaration. We're gonna switch to some more advanced rules in the next combat that we have.
Okay.
How dare you?
Guys, right now, there's a 20-foot goblin coming out of the woods!
Holy shit, let's 20 go.
20 feet? What the fuck?
Indra takes out her sword and hits him. I did it, guys.
And we're done.
I'm going to sword that guy so hard.
She is going to sword him in a specified area.
You're getting so good at this stuff.
Thank you. Really, I'm really trying
my best. It's really good.
If the group wants to see if they can ransack the bodies of these goblins and goblin dogs, I assume you all do.
Let's see if they got anything good.
Yeah, why not?
Perception?
Fog takes all the goblin dog meat.
Mm. No, I don't want that. I'm kidding. Foz, you want us to roll perception to loot them and stuff?
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, 12.
I rolled a 20. Sarah comes and spits a goblin onto the floor for Coda to like pilfer through.
Oh God.
Oh, I thought she was spitting it up like she tried to swallow it whole. Didn't go down right.
It could
sit well with her stomach. It's called a stomach.
No, it's not a stomach. Not for a void creature.
I don't want you to say it.
I didn't. I'm not going to this time, Josh. I'll spare you.
Thank you. Perceptions. Opal, what'd you get?
Oh, I wasn't gonna roll. I thought it was just people checking. I could roll if you guys want me to, but
it's all good. No need to worry because I rolled an 8.
Cool. Voldrith, are you participating?
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Okay. With a 20 and the rest of you kind of helping out, you're able to scrounge up 125 gold.
Oh.
On these goblins.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
How do we split this up? Does this go to the caravan?
That is 100% up to you.
I say put it in the caravan for now.
We don't need the gold right now.
It should probably go towards like provisions, like food and stuff like that.
Yeah, let's say on the road, let's put a limit. If we get a lump sum from an encounter that's more than 500, we'll talk about it. Everything else just go to the
Let's do it.
To the caravan. What was the total again there, Foz?
125 gold.
125. Okay, we've got 285 gold in the caravan right now, which is nice.
Nice.
So that's great. Any like other cool shit?
Nope. All right. So that was fun. Everyone kind of recovers from this combat. There's probably small nicks and scrapes and stuff like that. And Koya and Voldrith can help anybody that has their minor wounds. And you continue on your way. So this is day 3. We can mark off another 32 miles.
16 provisions.
16 provisions.
All right. We are fast approaching Galderia.
Yeah, we'll be in Galderia like end of tomorrow, right?
Correct. Yes.
Nice. Civilization.
All right. Anything that any of you all want to do while you are in your rest mode on this fine evening on day 3?
Yeah, it's probably later in the evening since, I'm not exactly sure what role that Coda's been taking, but he's been really like on it, working the whole time. So like Bog goes and finds him probably out with Sarah, like patrolling out around the caravan. And he's like, hey, kid.
So what you walk up to is he's talking to Sarah and he's like, what do you mean you can't get it? You know, I don't like Sarah. You know, I hate reaching in there. And she goes, and he's just like, fine. Okay. All right. Open your mouth. Fine. And her face spreads open more than it should in front of like in front of Bog.
Bog literally turns on a hand and under his breath. He's just like, okay, never mind. He just goes right back to the caravan. He does not want anything to do with this. It's weird. He goes back, plops down around the fire, and offers Walthus some absinthe.
And then drinks the rest of the bottle himself.
Yeah.
Now he's got to save it.
If you would have turned around, Coda would have been picking like goblin meat and goblin dog meat out of her teeth. And she's kind of like retching. She's been kind of like gagging a little bit the whole time since she's kind of chomped down on some of these things.
Oh.
And so he's there just getting in the teeth to get rid of them. Yeah.
What a sweet
Sarah
boy.
Needs but fuck, to stop gross. Eating the enemies. It keeps making her sick.
You gotta buy her a toothbrush.
Could you imagine that? How adorable. Just like this giant toothbrush That's over so my shoulder. Cute. Just
like a big shower brush. She's like brushing
every
her teeth.
Every morning. Brush. Yeah.
That's actually adorable. I love it.
Yeah. So sorry, Bog.
That's fine. He was just coming out here and be like, hey, take a break. Have a drink. Because you've been like patrolling and doing shit like every night. He's like, fucking chill out. But nope.
We're staying far away from that.
So maybe when he goes back over to sit next to Walthus, he's like plops down. I don't know if there's like some music from Amiko in the background. But he just plops down on like a bench next to Walthus, next to all their like food stuff now that dinner's been served. And, you know, passes him the bottle. And he's like,
hey, how you holding up, kid? No hair looks nice, by the way. I didn't say something the last few days, but I should. I'm doing great. I feel really good about this journey so far. The goblin attack was pretty scary, but I held my own. I shot one of them.
Oh, that's good.
This is really yummy absinthe, though. I enjoy it.
Yeah, slow down a little bit.
He takes it out of his hand, takes a swig of it.
He's like, no, you're good. You did enough. But I'm really glad that you came out, friend. I think we're doing a good job with the cooking, yeah? Everybody seemed to enjoy it.
Yeah, everyone really likes it. It makes me happy to be able to, you know, do something with my hands and provide for everyone here. Just the smiles on their faces is enough for me.
Yeah, that's the life of a cook. That's how it goes. You make up something, you pour your heart and soul into a dish, you get to watch people's days get brightened. Even the worst day gets brightened by a good plate of food. That's the blessing of being a chef. You're gonna see more and more of that the more you do it, okay?
Oh, okay, Bog. I'm excited.
All right. Hey, have another sip. Just don't go too crazy.
Hands him the absinthe.
Oh, sweet. Oh, okay.
Takes it from him.
You gotta be careful. This stuff powerful.
I know.
You're little.
I can handle my booze.
Oh, I know you can. I taste that mud. I remember. But also, this make you hallucinate. You drink too much, so you gotta be careful.
Oh, okay.
I need you in tip-top shape.
Well, I guess I better start washing the dishes then.
Oh, no, you're good. Just sit, relax. I'll take care of the dishes.
And he goes and he slips the absinthe into like his pack over on the side and goes and does the dishes.
Thanks, Bog.
I think Opal's going to talk to Amiko really quick, if that's okay.
Cool. So, yeah, Amiko is playing a song on her Simonson and singing at the same time. She goes on for a few more minutes and finishes her song, and then everyone kind of claps like, hey, yeah, man. Great job.
Wow.
And she kind of looks around at the group around the fire and gives a little head bow and smiles and puts her instrument aside and goes over and sits near where Opal is around the fire and kind of puts her hands up to the fire.
Where did you learn to play?
Oh, my father, this is one thing that I will say, looking back at it now, he did focus on my education a lot when I was younger, and that included the arts. So he would hire private instructors for a multitude of different things when I was younger. And this was one of the first instruments that, you know, I picked up, and I haven't played in a while, but I figured it, you know, it's a great time to keep everybody entertained while we're on the road.
Well, you're very good.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. She blushes.
Opal looks into the fire and she says, I have to ask you, why do you want to do all of this for a family that you don't really want anything to do with anymore? Not that I don't respect it, I'm just curious.
I'm not doing this for my family. This is for me. I know I'm being a little selfish when I say that, but this is my grand adventure. I never really pictured myself doing this again, adventuring again, after I bought the Rusty Dragon. It's always been in the back of my mind, but this is a chance for me to really see the world again. You know, I was so young when I stopped adventuring. I was only 16 when I came back, and it kind of just gave me an excuse, gave me a reason to see what's out there. Obviously, there's a lot of questions that I would like answered. I don't know enough about my family to really make a judgment at all, only from what I knew about my father. We had our differences, but I never knew my grandfather. And this is a good opportunity to at least see what he was like, see what my extended family was, see who they are.
I understand that. Just the way you spoke about your father, I figured you wanted nothing to do with any of this. But that makes more sense now. I can relate both to the adventuring really? And to the not knowing much about your family. So I'm excited to be a part of it.
I'm excited that you decided to come along as well. Having someone with your skills and, you know, she kind of like looks away for a second. I just think it'd be lovely to have you, you know, around.
She smiles. I'm glad to hear you say that. She stays silent for a moment, kind of awkwardly. You know, if you ever want to know more about your family, there are ways I can do that for you. But I understand if you're not ready for that. If you ever wanted to know what your father really thought of you or anything like that, I could try to reach you. But I know that's a bit intimate.
You see Yamako, she's just staring into the fire. And she kind of slowly starts to, like, nod her head. When I'm ready, yeah, I think I could do that. Now's not the time.
No rush, just let me know.
She turns and looks at you. Thank you, Oval. I very much appreciate you.
Of course, darling.
Auntie Yamako, are you trying to make the gods cry again with your songs? And Kota will walk out from between the caravans.
Kota, I did that song for you.
Well, in the process, you made the gods weep and inadvertently slowed us down. And he kind of gives you a little nudge on the shoulder as he sits next to you.
Well, I don't really give a fuck what the gods are doing.
Opal laughs. How are the patrols going, Kota dear? Anything we should be worried about?
No, I mean, the goblin tribes are scattered all over here, yes, but everything seems calm for now. Maybe the rains pushed them out for desperation, who knows?
We handled them pretty well the first time.
Yes, you know. This is not our first journey, Auntie. And with this crew, we should be fine, potentially. We'll see. How's trade? How are the stars, Auntie Opal?
Oh, the same as always, it seems. It is nice to have a few new faces around with this caravan. I'm sensing good things will happen.
We can only hope. We can only hope. And hopefully, at some point, we can get the trade going. I have been sitting on my parents' wares for too long. And I need to move them and send word back to mother and father about the growing of their empire.
New places means new customers, right?
Hopefully, yeah. Yeah, hopefully. I am going to retire. Good night to both of you.
Good night, Kota.
Sweet dreams, dear.
Sleep well and may the gods only weep when it's convenient. And he bows.
Cute little Kota.
All right. So we'll put a cap on day three. You all go to sleep. I assume, or I imagine, that Opal and Yamako kind of spend a little bit more time talking around the fire before mm-hmm. they excuse each other and go to bed. And you wake up on day four. It's nice and bright and sunny out. Weather is completely cleared at this point. It's a beautiful day. So you make your way, pack up the caravan, and start to make your way towards Galdiria. And you're continuing on your road. On the road, Gold Coast Road, you come to a part where the trees start to move closer towards the road a little bit. There's some different vegetation starting to sprout up as you get into this area more towards the north. And you come to a part where you can see in front of the caravan, the road kind of dips down a little bit. And as the caravan and Sandrew starts to approach, he whistles for the caravan to stop, and Sandrew kind of jumps off the wagon, starts to run to the other wagons to communicate with everybody.
There is a dip in the road ahead. It's filled with water. I don't think we can cross it.
Indra gets out of the caravan and goes over to inspect. Is there anything I can roll to kind of learn more about, like, how someone... Well, I guess that would be, like... Yeah, is there anything I can, like, roll of, like, how someone might get past this or how people would normally travel over this kind of thing?
Sure. You can roll probably, like, knowledge nature.
I rolled a 32.
Nice. Yeah, you can see that there is an area off to the left where it becomes a little bit shallower than it is now. It's off the beaten trail itself. But you think with some speed, like if you were to get some speed going into it, that the caravan, the wagons themselves with the horse's power would be able to make it through this area. It'd probably make a decent splash. And like you go and inspect the area to see how deep it is and see how muddy it is. And this is probably the best point that you could have made. Making a running start, you could make it all the way through with the caravan.
Sandra, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think there might be a spot where we could get through so we can keep moving.
Oh, this is great. Thank you for looking into this.
We would just have to go really fast. I don't really know how fast. I could try and figure out. I just haven't had the time to you know, calculate that or anything, but I think if we go fast, then it should work, I think.
Okay, let's give this a try. I trust you. Okay, let's back it up.
He starts to have everybody, they kind of turn around and back up the wagon so that they can get a more of a running start to go through this stream or this this area that's filled with water and mud. And Indra, go ahead and roll a security check to see if you can all make it past this hazardous obstacle.
It feels like Oregon Trail all over again.
We're fording.
Oh no.
That's plus six, Steph.
Then it is a 16. I hope that's good enough.
So the caravan starts to floor it and make its way towards this this area off the path, and Sandra's taking the horses at full speed, and first wagon makes it through, supply wagon makes it through, fortune teller. The wagon in the back starts to slow down in the mud as it's starting to cross.
Oh, shit.
But then the horses quickly pull it out and everybody makes it across safely.
My God, that was so stressful. Nice.
You scared me.
All right. So you make it through that hazardous area with the help of Indra as the guide, and you continue forward. So towards the end of the day, we can say that go ahead and mark 32 miles off of your journey for day 4.
All right. And another 16 provisions.
Yeah. Where are you guys at with after that for provisions?
86.
Ooh. That went down lot faster than I expected.
Yeah. But we're stopping in Galduria, right?
We should. Correct.
Third or fourth day.
It's 4.
Day 4.
We need some more food.
Guys, we're a quarter done with this travel. A quarter.
How exciting, guys.
So, Josh, did you keep me for the provisions for this? Because I haven't switched up my role yet. I've been still scouting.
Oh, you were on with scouting as well for food? Mm-hmm. Oh, then I don't think I did it for last time either. I'll give us 4 provisions back.
Okay, cool. I just realized that myself. So we're at 90. I was like, I haven't pivoted yet. And I don't think I should.
Just make sure when we do that, if you're playing as scout, just make sure you tell me like, hey, don't forget that, because I will forget.
Yeah, no. That was the whole
thing. I just gave us 2 back for yesterday and 2 back today.
Sweet. Perfect.
What's Galduria like?
So as you begin to arrive, you can see in the distance this large wooden wall that is surrounding this part of the outside of the city. As you enter in, there's a little bit of hustle and bustle in the area. You're in the side of town to the south where the market square is. So this is where a lot of the trade happens. As you know, as travelers come in on this route, it's the first place that you kind of stop to unload your gear and everything. There's a couple stables and a pub, an inn. If anybody wants to roll knowledge local about Galduria, they can.
Do so. I could do that too, actually. I rolled an 8. I know nothing.
I rolled a 25.
All right, with the 25, Indra, you know that this town is kind of dependent on the city-state of Magnemar. This is a fairly heavy trade center on the Gold Coast Road and gets a lot of its trade from Magnemar itself to and from. They deal in a lot of grain and lumber trade. They can pass that back and forth down across the lake along the Lamp Black River. That's right next to Galduria. But its true claim to fame, this city, is its arcane college. It's called the Twilight Academy. And that's where a lot of people travel to join this college. So it's a pretty bustling trade town. because it has the college and it has the trade of lumber and grain. So you all arrive and Sandru and the rest of the crew kind of start to unload and kind of hitch the horses. And this is an opportunity for everybody to, if they like to, they can spend the night in an inn if they want to, if they want to pay the money to do that. It's not too expensive on this side of the town. So that's up to, so all of y'all, or you can stay in the wagons.
I'm just thinking, like, since we're camping out here tonight and some folks are going to be inside, like, how much would it cost for 16 people to eat a meal at a restaurant?
Let's say
probably not like more than a few gold, right?
I was going to say 16 gold to like take care of the night.
Holy shit. Well, like, holy shit. What a drinks. Fucking crazy. Holy shit, though.
Is that a lot? I don't know. I just pulled that number out of my ass.
For like damn. Everyone on the caravan? Never mind. It's a lot of people. I would say 16 gold makes sense. For alcohol and food for like everybody? Yeah.
No, it sounds like a lot. That's like the Ritz. That's like the Ritz.
That's a lot, though.
Yeah.
Not at like a local pub.
We're going to like a nice place.
All right, fine. It's 16 silver. Fuck y'all.
No,
I'm not saying this wrong or right. I'm just like, damn, it sounds expensive. So never mind.
I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. So yeah, fine. It's 16 silver.
No, hold up. Like think about this. Like order, like an order of bread is like 2 copper. Like haggis is like a silver. Ice cream's a silver.
Ice cream?
So like a common meal is 3 silver pieces.
Yeah, and most places, there's no way in hell most places would charge even a single gold unless they were really nice.
Okay.
Yeah, so whatever. I mean, so if it's
Bob
like
wants to buy dinner for everyone, 3 silver. Is that the problem? Is that what you're trying to do?
I'm just looking to see if it's like actually more worth it to just pay for everyone and save the provisions.
Oh.
Did you call? Because we don't need to cook. We're in a town. You know what I mean?
Opal's got money. She'll buy everyone dinner.
So it's like 4.8 gold for the whole caravan. And then like a bottle of wine, of common wine, is 2 silver. And so I was like, oh, I'll get like 6 bottles and like treat everyone. So it'll basically cost Bog, like, it would cost him like 6 gold to buy everyone like a drink and a little bit extra and a common meal and like to have a night in like a place. And I think that's, I would totally pay 6 gold over using our provisions. So is that like okay?
Yeah, totally.
I'll even, you know what? I'll go super crazy. Let me pay 10 whole gold and we'll have like nicer stuff.
Ooh,
appetizers yum. And little, some couple extra stuff. Bottles
of
wine.
I'll gladly pay 10 gold. That's Bog's job to take care of those things. And it's only 10 gold. So
yeah,
I got plenty of extra gold right now.
Gives you and Walthus the night off of cooking and cleaning and stuff like that.
Exactly. Yeah. So let me put the, 16 provisions back because that's worth it. And I'll subtract that 10 gold.
Can I make a, what's the word? Can we meet in the middle on something?
Sure.
Since you traveled all day, I would assume like you still have to feed the horses and water. Ruin has to drink water and snack during the day and stuff like that.
No.
Cool.
How much is the caravan keep to upkeep?
Well, I was going to say, let's meet in the middle and you'll just use 8 provisions today instead of 16.
Oh, that makes sense. Can we restock on some food while we're here? Is that possible?
Yeah. We'll probably buy some shit.
I just don't want to leave without forgetting like to say that.
We'll stock up on provisions.
No, that's smart.
Yeah.
That's a good reminder. So I guess like as we kind of pull up, you're saying like everything gets hitched and kind of set up out. I imagine like outside the city, Bog probably goes around to each of the different wagons. Is like, all right, buddy, I'm giving a sous chef the night off. So everything going to be on me. Why don't we go find a local place inside? We get a couple drinks and some food. All right.
Yeah.
That's very generous of you, Bog.
Yeah, Vancor, you're always the one who's so excited.
I could do with food.
Oh my god,
that's a good one, Vank. Hey, Bevelek, did he hit over the head when he was a kid?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
What sounds like this?
Amako grabs you by the arm. Bog, are you sure that it's
very? Nah, it's fine. I mean, we got a bunch of extra cash from when we down at the place. It's okay. Hey, you're the one who paid us this money for half the stuff we gave back to you. It's fine.
I just feel bad. Here, let me reimburse you for it.
No. Okay. And he just like, he starts saying no. He's just like, all right, fine.
Slips you 10 gold.
All right, I'll add it back, Foz.
Okay, so you go to the local pub. It's called Greenwalt's Tavern.
Mm-hmm.
And there's plenty of room for all 16 of you. You kind of take up half the place. It's not too busy this evening, so you are able to party and eat and drink and enjoy the festivities.
Hell yes.
How's the food?
The food's good. This is a, like I said, this is a pretty popular trade town, so you got a lot of people coming in and out. The river is, and lake is right nearby, so it's a lot of fresh caught fish and grains and stuff like that.
How do they serve the fish? Bog asks for like the, give me the special. Give me your most popular thing.
This is really important, Foss. Don't fuck this up.
Okay.
Don't fuck it up.
Super important. Bog isn't judgy, but Josh is going to be judgy for Bog.
You didn't prep this?
It's whole fried fish.
Oh, that sounds pretty good.
Do I get like some chips too?
No chips.
What the fuck is this? I thought this was Pathfinder.
No, it's Faro. Faro is the side dish with
yum.
Butter.
Ooh. I love Faro.
Okay, he's down. Faro. He's like, okay, this is good.
Oh, I was going to say, I was like, I don't even know what Faro is. I expected risotto.
It's kind of similar to risotto. It's delicious. A little bit.
It's really good.
It is very good. Kind of like quinoa or risotto, something with it.
Hey, Waltis.
Yeah.
We should probably maybe pick some of this up while we're here. I think somebody would mention on the way over here that they got lots of this stuff.
The grains?
The grain, yeah, pretty good, huh?
Yeah, it's delicious. Maybe we can get some butter too, some extra.
Okay, well, we got hold your horses, Dad. We gotta make sure we ain't got nowhere to keep the dairy.
I love butter.
I can see that.
Butter doesn't need to be refrigerated.
It's true.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Actually, it depends on what family you talk to. So
yes. It does get gross if it's out for too long.
Yeah, we were one of those families where it just doesn't look. It looks so gross to me.
I love it. It's so easy, spreadable for toast. It's just ready to go.
It's like people that refrigerate their ketchup versus people that don't refrigerate their ketchup. Like, everyone has a preference, you know?
I just don't fuck with ketchup because it's garbage.
That's another thing
That's fair.
Why would you have ketchup when you have like hot sauce, buffalo sauce, barbecue sauce, any kind of mustard?
A slew of mustard.
Yeah, save for like French's mustard is like the same as like yellow mustard is the same as ketchup to me. But any other like real mustard is like, give me that spicy shit.
I'm just one of those trash people that loves ketchup and mayo. I just like love ketchup and mayo.
You are a trash person, but it's okay. I make up for it.
Does anyone remember the green colored and the purple colored ketchup?
That was my favorite. I like begged my mom to get that until she finally got it for me.
I did too. I regret. It's the thing I regret most in my life.
It's so good.
The green ketchup
and
was
purple
your regret
ketchup.
In life.
The purple ketchup. Purple.
Yeah, that just sounds insane.
Well, okay. Well, look, we'll get some of the butter. We just gotta make sure we don't get too much.
Oh, okay, great.
It ain't the cheapest thing around these parts. They're not a big like dairy farming like you know economy around this area.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
This is a fishing country.
We can get some fish.
Oh yeah, we'll get some fish. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
All right. So you all party and. Do your thing. Who is paying for a room?
I think Foldrith wants to stay with the caravan just to make sure nothing gets stolen or get any hitchhikers or we don't get a ticket for parking somewhere.
Yeah, I think Opal will stay too, for sure.
Same for Bog.
Yeah, it's street sweeping day.
Okay. All right. I would say most of the caravan probably stays together there and you make camp right on the outside wall of the city. That's typical for caravans to do that as they're passing through. You actually probably see another one over on the other side about a couple hundred yards away. It's a small one, just two wagons.
So it doesn't look as nice as ours?
Oh, no. You guys are blowing them away.
Fucking losers.
Sucks to be you guys.
All right. You go to sleep on day 4.
Ooh.
And wake up in the morning on the outside of the city, and what would you like to do with your day here in Galduria?
Well, we should probably try to get up early to do some shopping and like probably get the fuck out of here. You know, we're not hanging out, you know what I mean? Stopover.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So, I think provisions, what is it? It's 5 GP for like 10 of them, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Well, we did just get 125 gold, just like kind of out of nowhere. So we could spend all of that. I mean, well, then again, we have to have, wait, how many? Oh, shit. How many units of storage does the stores take up? 10 equals a cargo unit?
Correct.
Okay. Well, how many did we... We started with... We were maxed out, I think, on cargo.
Correct. So how many units do you have before buying any?
We have 98. So we could buy... We could technically... So we could just buy 25 gold worth and get 50. So we get 148. Okay. We'll just spend 25 gold worth. I mean, I really wanted to stock up, but that's all right.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Buy a supply wagon while you're here.
Yeah, but We don't have a ton of extra. We don't have a ton of extra cash. We only have 260 gold.
I mean, the next town is not that far away. Like, Wolfseer will be there in the next day. So I don't think we need to worry about stocking up. It's not like it's like, I think once we get to Roderick's Cove, that's when we need to worry about stocking up, because it's a long ways until Brynwa.
Yeah. Wolfseer, we should double check, because we're going to go through the Trollwood, which is like probably going to be a more arduous journey, probably more dangerous. So we make sure we have everything we need.
Do you guys think that while we're in this town, we should pay any mind or attention to the Arcane School? Arcane College? Do you think there's anything significant there?
I mean, Bog has no interest.
Yeah, neither do I.
I would say yes, except for the fact that we are in, like, we do have, like, a time crunch kind of a thing going.
Well, I mean, I will say, in the morning, like, Walthus and Bog are going to go have to do some of the shopping. Maybe bring some other people along as well to, like, get the food that we need. So you probably have a couple hours. Okay.
It might give, if anything, like, background and context to this town and maybe a little more, like, dimension.
If Indra wants to go, Opal will go with her.
Cool. So Indra is going to feebly ask for permission from the rest of the group if she can slip away for a little bit. Ooh. Would it be okay? Well, the rest of them are getting supplies. Could I just maybe take a look at this school? I mean, if it's going to be a burden and we have to go, that's fine. I can stay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I asked. It's fine.
That sounds interesting. I'll come with you.
Oh,
Her favorite person.
Andrew's like, fuck, not Opal.
Yeah, okay. Sure. Do you, okay, I guess we should go. Do you want to go now or wait? Or let's just go. Okay, let's go.
Sure. Does anybody else want to come? And Opal looks around at everybody else.
No, you two have fun. I think it'll be an interesting bonding moment for the both of you.
Opal smiles at Voldrith knowingly. Yes, it'll be fun. She winks at Indra. Let's go.
Okay. I think it's this way. She just starts walking.
Yeah, you can see the college from where you are. It sits in the center of the city, and it looks like it's made out of stone. It looks like a fortress.
Dang.
So you make your way over. You make your way over to the center of the city, and it's Opal and Indra, correct?
Mm-hmm.
As you make your way over, you get to where the entrance of the college is, and you look up at this large wall that surrounds the entirety of this large space of the college building. And there are metal gates inside of an archway that lead on a path to the inside of the wall. The gates are closed.
Do we knock? Is it closed, do you think?
Opal walks up to the door and she tries the handle.
Okay. You pull on the handle and it opens.
Opal shrugs and looks back at Indra. Well, it's not locked.
Are you sure we're allowed? I don't want to get in trouble.
Better to ask for forgiveness and permission. She winks at you again and walks inside.
Oh.
As soon as you open the door, you hear a ding.
Oh.
And Opal, as you cross the threshold inside of the wall, you hear a and from behind you, a human woman is standing there. Well, hello.
Opal kind of jumps a little. Oh, hello.
How are you?
I am great. How are you?
I'm very well.
Opal looks at Indra. Okay, is she in between Indra and me?
Yeah, kind of. She's like off to the side a little bit, but I don't think Indra has entered through the threshold yet. So yeah, she's kind of standing there in, aside of the door, but between you two. What is your name?
I am Opal, and this is my friend Indra.
Nice to meet you. My name's Aniri.
Charmed. We're just here to take a look around. Is that all right?
Sure. Are you looking to join the college?
I don't think so. We're just travelers passing through.
Okay, great. That's excellent. Let me show you around.
Is it I can come too?
Of course. Come in.
Okay.
So she leads you and takes you to one of the buildings off to the right within the walls. This is the alchemy lab. Are either of you studying the arcane arts at all? What interests you in coming here?
I know a bit of alchemy. I make these extracts. She kind of pulls some of the vials that she has hanging from her belt.
Oh, well, you came to the right place. Let me show you into this area here. She opens the door, and this is a large room with all these different tubes and alchemical apparatuses used to make different type of alchemical substances. It's a large lab, essentially, and different fluids of different colors are dripping into vials and tinctures. There's a few seemingly students that are working in here, and she opens the door and leads you in. This is our alchemy lab. We spend a lot of time here, and if you don't know much about our school here, we like to keep things fast and loose, so we leave room for the creative side of things, not like those stuck-up people in Magnemar. You know, we like to kind of do things on our own, and we can get some great results out of that, letting creativity flow. That's not without its one or two mishaps every once in a while, but besides that, it's a lot of fun.
Indra sort of looks over, and I'm sure she sees like the remnants of like explosions on the wall of just like charred bits and stuff, and she's like, oh, that sounds like a really interesting and unique way of doing these sorts of experiments. That works well for you, you said?
Yeah, like I said, a little couple mishaps here and there, but we've had plenty of patented results come out of this college, and we're very proud of the way we do things.
Well, it's an incredible lab. I've never seen so much sophisticated equipment in one place. So, kudos to you, all of you.
Oh, thank you. I'm just an administrator here, so, but I get very excited when we go into the lab every time. It's a cool place. Okay, let me show you something else. She takes you over to a very large door. This seems to be like one of the main buildings, and she pulls on this wooden door and allows you to enter. And inside, you can see rows and rows and rows of bookshelves towering like 8 feet tall. This is our library.
Oh, wow. I don't think I've ever seen so many books before in my life.
If you'd like, I can leave you here to take a look around. I'll be around if you need me.
Oh, if that's okay. I mean, if you're all right with me touching things, that would be kind of fun. Wait, Opal, is that okay? Do we need to go back?
No, it should be fine. You should take a look around.
I mean, then yeah, if you're okay with it.
Don't worry, someone's always watching, and she like points to the air above her.
She kind of like looks confused and like is looking around. Wait, what?
Just call my name if you need anything, and she pulls up above her in the air and like swipes it downwards and then steps through space and time and disappears.
That's a fun trick.
Charming.
You're sure I can look around? I think, you know, I don't want it to be boring for you.
Please don't worry about me. Opal kind of starts to walk around and look at all the different books.
Andra just kind of starts wandering around, looking at the different books, pulling a couple of them off of the shelves, getting a little bit more comfortable and kind of easing into it as more time passes by. She's still very on edge, but you can see her kind of relaxing and allowing herself to enjoy this moment a little bit more as time passes. Gosh, there's so many books here. I can't even imagine the things that I could learn, and there are people who just have like access to this. And
did you go to a school like this before?
Oh, no, I didn't really do much. I just got books from, you know, Sandpoint was the furthest I ever went. And just picked up the books that I could find there and just sort of started my collection.
Wow, you are awfully well educated for learning it all yourself.
Well, thank you. Guess it's hard not to know things when you just don't really do anything except for read, you know?
Perhaps someday when the adventure is over, you could try going to a place like this. Seems like you would fit in well.
I guess I just feel like, I don't know. What would I do with all this knowledge? You know, I don't know. I don't.
Anything.
I don't know.
The world is your oyster.
I guess. It's a little scary to think about, you know? There's like too many things that you could do. How do you even pick?
I suppose that's the fun of it. You just pick. And then when you get bored of that, you move on to the next. At least that's how I've lived my life.
But you can never do everything, you know? And that's, I guess it's better than doing nothing. That's pretty much all I've done.
Perhaps you should ask if you can take one or two of these books with you. They might let you borrow them or something.
You think they would loan it out to me?
Is that not how libraries work? I'm not totally sure. I'm not much of a reader myself.
Thought it was maybe for the students that go here or something. Not some nobody that's just rolling through town. You know, why would they trust me with this stuff?
Yeah, you might be right. Does not hurt to ask.
That's a lot to ask.
You don't really like asking for things for yourself, do you?
No, it just feels wrong. I don't know. It makes me feel bad.
Well, we'll have to work on that. She winks at you again.
Okay. Just kind of grimaces a little bit.
Well, we probably should be getting back soon. Is there anything else you would like to see?
No, I mean, I guess this is plenty. I wish I could stay here for longer. Man, we should go before I get attached or anything, you know?
Maybe we could come back on the way back. See it again.
Sure, maybe. Yeah, I mean, as long as it's not out of the way. I don't want to make anyone have to stop for me, you know?
Nobody minds stopping for you. I promise.
Okay. She just kind of curls in on herself a little bit.
Come on.
It's real awkward.
She laughs a little bit. Come on, let's go.
All right, and so they leave, I guess. And back to the caravan.
And Indra steals the book. No, I'm kidding. She would never.
Opal steals one of four.
She just slips it off the shelf. Ha ha. Sleight of hand.
I don't even have a rank in that. Never mind.
All right, so the two of you leave the college, the Twilight Academy, and head back to the group. I just have one more bone to pick with David. David, you said in an episode that you were going to send money back to your family.
Sucker.
And I want to hold you accountable for that. You're in a city that could send some mail, so how much gold do you want to spend on your family?
All right, cool. We didn't...
It don't be cheap.
Oh, yeah, okay. Let me think about... Let me look at my finances.
Oh, shit, I spent too much money on myself. Relatable.
That's... Yeah. Call me out like that, Laura. Okay, so at some point in the day, Coda... He won't talk to anyone. He'll just kind of strap his bags to his back and nod to Sarah, and they'll take off towards town, or at least into the proper part of town. And he will end up at whatever the postal service notary sort of situation is. And when he's in there, he will take some gold out, swap it out with the merchant for however they send gold, because I can't imagine that they would actually physically send it unless they do that.
Yeah, it's like a notarized slip, I guess.
A slip, maybe. Exactly. Yeah. So he'll go through all of the normal, really mundane, shitty things about life when you have to send money to people without the internet or anything that's modern. And he will send 50 gold back to good old mom and pa.
Cute.
What a nice boy.
Yeah. He'll send a letter, like, you know.
What does the letter say, David? Just kidding.
The letter says... Dear M and P, right, mom and pa. It'll say the road has been mostly quiet. I miss the comforts of both of you, and I hope to make enough money out here for you to live comfortably as long as the elves do. Love, Coda.
Aw,
cute.
What a sweetie.
Awesome. All right. Anything else you guys want to do before you ship out?
I think we're good.
I'm ready.
All right, so this is the top of day 5. You're going to continue your travel north, and towards the end of the day, you're following the Ember Lake. The Ember Lake is to the east of you as you make your way north. You're following the road that travels alongside it. So for the day, go ahead and mark off 32 miles. And the applicable provisions for the day.
Felix, are you scout today?
I'll maintain that until we hit the road at some point. I think I'll be scout for most of the time period, actually, since we have 3 guards.
Well, you need to decide at the beginning of the day. So all day today,
It's going to be... Well, yeah, because I haven't decided. I'll tell you when we transition, hopefully, at the beginning of the day. So I'm going to try and hold myself to that. So, yeah, cool. It's scout.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So you're heading in the direction of Wolf's Ear. You're going to stop there before you head through the Churlwood to make your way to Roderick's Cove. In the distance, you can see it's kind of like a not as nice of a wooden wall on the outskirts. But as you approach, you can see that the gates are closed. So the caravan heads up to the top of the gate. and there's no one on the walls or anything. They're too thin to hold anybody up, and you can't see anybody in the area.
Is there any way to see, like, so the gates are like shut, but they're not locked?
You don't know.
Is that what that looks like?
You don't know.
Okay.
Bog will hop out and go over to Sandrew.
I've never seen the gates closed like this. I'm not sure what is happening.
Hey, you want to go over a knock or something?
Sure. Would you like to come with me, Bog?
Yeah, all right.
Coda will step out and watch from the side, kind of Sarah to his side.
So Sandrew will walk with Bog up to the gate, and what does Bog do?
I guess Bog goes over and like just like puts a hand out and like pushes on the gate a little bit, see if it opens or anything.
Give some resistance to you as if it's locked from the inside.
Oh, I think it's locked, boss.
What do we do? I don't... Hello?
Yeah, anybody home?
Don't hear anything.
What the heck?
Shit. I don't know. We keep on going. You're the one. I ain't one to be on the road. Well, you do, Sandrew. Just come up before.
Well, it's heavy vegetation. If we were to travel to the west now, and the end of the city branches off into the lake, so I don't know. I'm not sure how to go about this.
Okay, hold on, just 1 second. Let me give this a shot.
Can I try to just climb up the wall and look over the top?
Sure.
Okay, I do have that ring of climbing, so it'll help. A 28.
Oh yeah, you're able to bound up. And as you pull yourself up to the top of the wall, are you just trying to peek over? Or are you going to try and jump on or like jump down to the other side?
I just want
to
see over the top. Yeah, I like use my claws to dig in and climb up and just like peek my head over.
Cool. Roll a perception.
Not as good as the climb. That's a 14.
So as you peek your head over, most of the houses, I'll say, the buildings are made from log wood, and you don't see anybody walking about. Typically, you know, it's towards the evening. This would be kind of a little hustle and bustle going on while everyone's trying to close up shop and get something to eat and stuff like that. You don't see anybody walking around. What you do see is a pile of bloody corpses in the middle of the town square.
What?
Oh, fuck.
Oh, shit.
And at that moment, from both sides of the walls on the outside where the caravan is, you see two figures start to make their way towards you all, running on all fours towards you.
Oh, look out!
And we'll see you in episode 13.
What?
Oh, man. Oh, man. What the hell? On all fours? What the fuck?
Oh, that's terrifying.
I hate it.
Man, we should have seen it coming.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to this first episode of our fun experience with the caravan combat and caravan mechanics. I think it's going pretty well. Going pretty smooth. Don't know what it's going to sound like on the other end when it comes to how fun it is or cool it is or anything like that. But I'm having fun. I hope you are all too. Josh, please. Do that little outro thing.
Absolutely, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. As we always say, check us out on all the different social media platforms at Pod Called Quest. We've got Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all those things. Check us out and jump on over to podcalledquest.com as well. Plenty of free stuff to check out there. And if you're looking to possibly help us out, continue to make great stuff like this, of course, you can always check out patreon.com/podcalledquest and chuck in a buck or two. We would super appreciate that if you did. But if you don't, that's also fine as well. As always, a huge shout out to Sirenscape, Larian Studios, The Game Kitchen, and CD Projekt Red for all their awesome sound effects and music. You can check out them as well as all the other composers whose music we use via Creative Commons in each and every episode's show notes and at podcalledquest.com/music. And last but not least, please check out causecalledquest.com to find all the links for the various causes that we support along with their direct donation links where you can get in and get involved. We would super appreciate that. But all in all, thank you so much. Appreciate all you guys listening, all you folks there for donating, and we'll see you in the next one. Later.
Bye.
Peace out.
Bye.
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 I just pushed a button that destroyed everything. Hold on.
Oh, dear.